my sins are gone. The Lord took full possession. The devil did depart. I'm glad. Oh, there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness from the dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. When Satan comes to tempt me, when Satan comes to tempt me and tries to make me doubt, I say, my sins are gone. You got me into trouble, but Jesus got me out. I'm glad my sins are gone. Well, there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness from the dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. Now, I'm living now for Jesus. I'm living now for Jesus. I'm happy night and day because my sins are gone. My soul is filled with music. With all my heart I say, I know my sins are gone. Well, there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness from the dawn, in the sea of God's forgetfulness, it's good enough for me. Praise God. My, let's sing that chorus one more time. There underneath. Oh, there underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary, as far removed as darkness from the dawn, sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God. My sins are gone. If you believe that, give the Lord a clap of praise. Amen. We ought to be the happiest people in this world. Amen. Amen. You know, happy things may not happen to us every time, but down deep inside, amen, there's a happiness and a joy that nobody else can experience except the believer that has their sins under the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Let's sing that song, Shine On Me, key of F, Shine On Me. Then we're going to ask Brother John to get ready to come and sing for us a song.
Shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Oh, shine on me, Lord, shine on me. Just let the light from the lighthouse shine on me.
Once again,
oh, shine on me. Oh, shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Oh, shine on me. Oh, shine on me. Just let the light from the lighthouse shine on.
Let's sing this. To be like Jesus.
To be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth through glory, I to be like Him.
Is that your desire? Sing it unto Him once again.
Just to be like Jesus. To be like Jesus. On earth I long to be like Him. All through life's journey, from earth to glory, I only ask to be like Him.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So good to be in His house.
Praise.
Amen. I just want to thank the Lord. Last week, Sunday, my wife and I celebrated our 22nd anniversary.
Amen.
So I thank the Lord for that. Amen. Still feeling young, so praise God for that. Amen. Not up there with Terrence, you know, not on that level yet. But. Praise the Lord Jesus. But this song, Now I Belong to Jesus, this has been my heart, kind of a theme song behind our marriage. When we got married, God called us out of the world, and He did a quick, short work. And, you know, just completely changed our life in college in Maryland, and we got married, and they had an older brother by the name of Brother Mickey, and he used to sing this song. And the day that we were on our honeymoon, he was singing this song, and when I heard it, it just touched my heart. So I'm going to sing this song by the grace of the Lord.
Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. From Him no power of evil can sever. He gave His life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Once I was lost in sin's degradation, Jesus came down to bring me salvation. He lifted me up from sorrow and shame. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus, and Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity.
Think about it.
Joy floods my soul, for Jesus, He saved me, freed me from sin that long had enslaved me.
His precious blood He gave to redeem. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Jesus, my Lord. Jesus, my Lord, will love me forever. Think about that. From Him no power of evil can sever. Thank you, Lord. He gave His life to ransom my soul. Now I belong to Him. Now I belong to Jesus. And Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Help me sing that chorus. Now I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me. Not for the years of time alone. How long? But for eternity. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Praise Him.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Brother John. Amen. Listening to that song just took me back to Baptist Church.
We used to sing that a lot there and back at Bob Jones University. And I used to go to school there and they would sing it in the chapel. And so it's when things just, the Lord starts working in your life, you know, and just those songs just take you back. Amen. To your foundations. Amen. Praise God.
Amen. Let's take up our offering. Amen. And we're going to ask Brother Bob, can you come help us take up our offering, please? Amen. Let's sing that song, Let the Worshippers Arise. I believe it's key of F. Amen. So why don't we just arise as Brother Bob passes that? Why don't we just arise and let's just worship Him? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I just don't think we're going to be worshiping Him sitting down, you know, when we first see Him up there, you know. I believe we're going to be standing. Amen. How do you hug somebody? Usually it's standing up. That's how I'm going to hug my Lord. Amen. Amen. So let's just sing about that. Praise God.
Father, I see that You are drawing a line in the sand, and I want to be standing holding Your hand. So let Your kingdom come. Yes, let it live in me. This is my prayer. This is my plea. Let the worshipers arise, and let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all.
I surrender to the King. Let's sing it again. Let the worshipers arise. Oh, let the worshipers arise. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Verse 2. Father, I hear it growing louder. Oh, Father, I hear it glowing louder. The song of your redeemed as the saints of every nation is awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the praises ring. This is our song, a song to our King, a song to our King. Let the worshipers arise. Let us just lift up our hands to Him now. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Sing that again. Let the worshipers arise. Let the worshipers arise. And let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Let's sing that second verse again. Father, I hear it growing louder. Oh, Father, I hear it growing louder. The song of your redeemed as the bride of every nation is awakening to sing. From our hearts there comes an anthem. Oh, hear the praises ring. This is our song, a song to our King. Let the worshipers arise. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. Once again, let the worshipers arise. Let the worshipers arise. Arise with faith. Let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. One more time. Let the worshipers arise. Let the worshipers arise. And let the sons and the daughters sing. Oh, He's worthy this afternoon. I'm surrendering my all. I surrender to the King. One more time. Let the worshiper arise. Let the worshipers arise. And let the sons and the daughters sing. I'm surrendering my all. I'm surrendered to the King. Amen. Give the Lord a clap of praise if you surrender to Him. Amen. That's what He wants, a surrendered people. God can just do so much with just one person surrendered to Him than with thousands of people. No. Amen. Just one person, one heart surrendered to Him. Amen. Are you ready for the word? I've been enjoying the series that Brother Wade's been bringing, so amen. We're supposed to become that. Amen.
That's what we're called to in this hour. Amen. So let's just sing, Open the Eyes of My Heart, as Brother Wade gets ready to come.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. Oh, I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Oh, open the eyes of my heart. Be you. Oh, I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. High and lifted up, oh, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy.
Sing it to Him.
Holy, Holy.
Turn around and shake somebody's hand and say, God bless you. I think we can do that now. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. Fist bumps are okay. Elbows okay. But handshake's okay too. Amen. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to be back this afternoon. Everybody all refreshed and ready to go? We'll see. So, just by way of announcement, got you, didn't I? Brother Bob will be preaching for us Wednesday night. Just pray that he gets a shotgun load full and brings it to us. And also remember, next Sunday after the second service, 24th, will be it's Pastor Appreciation Month. The whole month is, and we'll honor our pastor on the 24th. Also, if you're going to the Bethel camp, Brother Joe Canada has the schedule. So if you want one, parents or whoever's going, Brother Joe has them back there in the back. Just see him and get it from him. It'll be all the whole schedule of the whole weekend from Thursday till Sunday, okay? And keep all that. We need to pray for the people that the kids will have a good time too, okay? Also, remember that heading down the list, we're going to talk a little bit. In November, we got Brother Marcus Becker is coming through on November the 10th, and he'll be preaching for us on that Wednesday night. Remember him? He's from Germany, Brother Marcus. Good brother. Enjoyed it both times he's been here. So, really enjoyed it. So, also on the 14th, which is that next Sunday, we'll have church dinner. You'll bring your best stuff. Esther, you know what? Mm-hmm. If you need some squash, I got some squash casserole. Okay. Anyway, so just subliminally. You hear that? Subliminally. Y'all heard that, didn't you? Okay, well, subliminally. Well, because y'all were thinking it before I said it, weren't you? Because Sister Esther makes a mean squash casserole. So just remember her in your prayers that she'll make that thing. November the 14th. That's how important that is. Big. Yeah, no, little one for y'all. She makes me a big one that I can take home with me. So anyway. November the 14th will be the church dinner for Thanksgiving, and then November the 23rd will be on Tuesday. We'll be having service on that Tuesday, not Wednesday, before Thanksgiving. Wow, it's already Thanksgiving. Almost. So anyway, alright. So let's turn to John 1:1 and continue our thought. I'm kind of enjoying it too. We're not even really got into the meat of it yet. We're just kind of trying to explain who the Son of Man is, but we got to get into the characteristics of it. And then we got to bring it home. We got to bring it to us. We give it a little bit, but we got to bring it into where the Son of Man, the Son of Man becomes evident in the bride. And the evidence will be there. Amen. I'm looking for signs and wonders. I mean, you're not supposed to be built on signs and wonders, but I'm telling you, if when the Son of Man fully hits the earth, what happened when the Son of Man fully hit the earth 2,000 years ago? There were signs and wonders. Amen. And Brother Bram said it popped like popcorn. God will anoint a church then. Well, I believe that's when that church realizes who she is. That she still is the Son of God. You still, listen, that's your new birth. Don't ever throw that out and say, well, we don't need the, no, you're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. Alright? You still got, the Son of God's what's inside of you. That's what was inside Jesus. That's why they said you're the Creator. They knew there was something different, but they couldn't understand that and that flesh being God. So that's the whole thing, and that's the same thing with me and you. They won't mind us talking about first one thing and another, about how good our church is and how good people cook squash casserole. But when you start talking about, and you get it down to what Jesus was talking about, I am the resurrection and the life. If you don't believe in me, you're dead. Now, buddy, that's when they left the house. Now, that was the Son of Man talking, though. We're going to get over there a little bit further where the Son of Man stood one day and he said, the Son of Man can forgive sins on earth. How do you think Brother Branham, in his first part of his ministry, he couldn't give a grace of marriage and divorce? We'll look at it in just a minute, how we got to progress up to it, because Moses had to progress to a place to where God could show him his form. And I'll read in the Bible where God told Moses, okay, Moses, you've got to this place. I'll honor it now. I'll show you who I am. And that's the same way with me and you, that we got to come to a place where God will honor and come on the scene. And that entails adoption and all the great things that we already know, but we need to go over again. So just keep us in your prayers. John 1 verse 1. To Heavenly Father, we pray, Lord, that you'll be with us today. Lord, sanctify us for this journey. Forgive us of our sins and our many mistakes that we make, Lord. We truly know that we're sinners saved by grace, but this thing that's inside of us called the Holy Ghost is perfect. And that's what you're looking to, Lord. You're looking to that part of us. But now I pray that that part of us will work its way out, Lord, and that we will become better Christians. We will, as you did, Lord, learn by the things you suffer, that we'll become, Lord, you, made manifest in another form called the bride. Father, Lord, give us our daily bread. Be with the ones that are not here, the ones that are sick. Touch us all in body and spirit, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Now, see, he's talking about the Son of God. Because we just read this morning, what was the Son of God? The Logos, the one that came out and said, let there be. So that's who he's talking about now, but he's gonna work his way all the way down to verse 14, and that's the Son of Man. Because that Word's got to be made flesh. Amen. Prophet God said one time, we'll read it later on, Word becoming flesh, flesh becoming Word. Amen. You gotta get it all together. Alright? As Brother Donnie, we were talking about Hebrews, a body thou hast prepared me. And that's exactly what it is. It's a body thou hast prepared me. In him was life, and life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of the light. Do you know? Remember, John wasn't born again. John the Baptist. Mm-mm. No, least in the kingdom's greater than John. What's the kingdom? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The least in the kingdom. That's why he couldn't be that light. He was there to show the light and to say, hey, turn and look. This is where the light is. I'm not the light. Now, we know it was a great prophet. We know he's going to heaven. But he was not bride. Amen? If he'd have been bride, he wouldn't have asked 3 months later after they put him in prison for his disciples to go back and said, are you the one that's supposed to come or do we need to seek another one? You know, prophet of God said his eagle eye got filmed over. Well, he didn't have the Holy Ghost to tell him any different. Or he wouldn't ask that question. There wasn't something there, you know, there was not something there. So he wasn't the light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. See, that's the difference in me and you. You and I are going to become that true light. That was that true light. Now, that light, true light, is where? It's inside of you today.
Yes.
Right? He was in the world. The world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, Nicodemus, but of God. That's what Nicodemus went back to. He said, I got to go get back in my mother's womb. He put it all toward flesh. Nothing to the spirit. All right? But Jesus said, no, you got to be born from above. That first verse, what's killing you, Nicodemus? Which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh. Now back up there in verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. Word was with God, and the Word was God. So this God, this Word is going to become flesh. And dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Word was made flesh in you. Amen? You may be seated. Lord, I just bless you to the reading of the Word. Because remember, as we were talking this morning, we came flesh first, fallen condition. We came by sex. Should not have come that way. But there was a part of God that was not born from a mom and a daddy.
Right. Right.
There's a part of God that He created, Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our own image. He's the only one that could do that. Right. Amen?
Amen?
He that's born of a woman, Job said, is what? Short of days and full of trouble. So that's our problem. We were born from a woman. If we're born again, we're born from a man.
Right.
Amen? Yeah. Amen? We're born from a man. When you get born again, you get the person of Jesus Christ, not a woman. Amen. Now you become the bride.
Right. Right.
But remember, I thought they were one. I thought Adam and Eve were one. When they come together, they were one. Yeah. They were actually one flesh, and same were we. But remember, the Son of Man came Word first. In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. That's why Jesus could stand and say, before Abraham was, I am.
Right.
He could tell them all these things because He was the Word first. Then that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. See, that's the difference, like I said before, in the Son of Man and a Son of Man. A Son of Man is born of sex, then comes into the body of Christ by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Son of Man, behold, a virgin shall conceive.
Right.
Isaiah said, behold, a virgin shall conceive. Now that is the Son of Man. So you and I can't be the Son of Man in one body. So William Branham could not be the Son of Man in one body because he was born of Charles and Ella Branham. Amen? But when he was born from above, that put him in a whole other category. Amen? All right, so now we were looking here at Genesis 3:15, and I'll put enmity. This is, to me, this is one of the greatest scriptures because it's telling the whole story, even of the Old Testament and the New Testament. Now, you got to read between the lines and put in all the bulls and goats and all the Moseses and all the Isaiahs, and then you got to put in the John the Baptist and all the major prophets that come down. Because I will put enmity. Where is that I? That I is God Himself. That I is God Himself that worked through, and we'll read later on today about Ezekiel. Son of man, prophesy. Son of man, prophesy. And if you'll watch and read your Bible, look in Ezekiel. Sometimes it'll say, son of man, prophesy. Now I know that the S is in the first of the sentence, but if you'll look in a few places, you'll look over in the sentence, and the S will be a capital S. Where it shouldn't be. Well, that's the Son of Man talking.
Right.
Then you see the little S, which is God talking to Ezekiel.
Right.
We'll see in just a minute. Maybe we'll bring that out. It's really beautiful to watch. You say, well, how in the world that Bob was covering it today?
Right.
The Lord sent unto my Lord.
Right.
Capital L was talking to the little L.
Right.
What? The capital L is always, hey, when God starts talking to you by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's the big L talking to the little L.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
I thought there was just one.
Yeah.
Position. Now it's a position. Because see, Brother Luis doesn't have all the Holy Ghost. Because you got the Holy Ghost. And you got the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ had all the Holy Ghost. God is the Holy Ghost. All right? So we bring this out because this, to me, it's, like I said before, it puts everything in perspective that we have got to come through a woman. See, this was spoken before Isaiah said a virgin shall conceive. But he put enmity or division. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit. Because there was a little bit of, I felt a little pushback when we were talking about that they had just a little bit of light during the church ages. So we'll talk about that. I kind of want to go through that a little bit more. Sometimes you feel like, man, it's all good and the water just flows really good. And then all of a sudden something dams it up. So this morning I kind of felt that maybe there was a little bit something I need to cover again. So we'll go back and cover that. All right. Listen, not belittling anyone. God didn't belittle anybody when he said, I'm going to put enmity between the end and one. He's giving you, he's telling you the whole story. Remember what Brother Bram said? The acts of a play. He's acting out what he's going to do. This great eternal plan of redemption has got to include, if it's redemption, that means we had to fall. Amen. Pretty simple. We had to fall if there was redemption. So in that there is a fall, that we've already fell. But God said, in other words, I'm going to put a division, but I'm going to put it back together by this, her seed, which is Christ. Amen? Woman, I wrote myself a note, woman to flesh. Because flesh has got to come back. Flesh is how they fell. Adam and Eve did not fall in their soul. They fell in their flesh, their spiritual being. Memory, reason, conscious, affection, and then their body just took over and did what the Spirit told it to do. Amen? And that's what happens to us when we repent. When we repent, listen, when we repent as Christians, your soul doesn't repent. Your soul is God. Your spirit is what's repenting. You're repenting for the memory, reason, conscious, affection, imagination. But if you're born again, how can you repent? If you repent, that means your soul sinned. And I thought your soul can't sin. By the baptism of the Holy Ghost, your soul cannot sin. That's why you can't be judged. When you're born again, you can't be judged. You're already judged. Amen? What a wonderful picture. So the woman is going to bring forth a child. It's going to be a flesh person, and it shall bruise thy head. So it's talking about a body, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Alright? So the speaking of a promised son, even before a virgin shall conceive, God said, I'm going to have to come down in human flesh and fix this thing because you take it all through types, Ruth, Boaz, it had to be flesh, kin, right? Kinfolk had to be flesh for the redemption to happen. Ruth had to be, or Boaz had to be kin to Naomi, and then Ruth came under that being me and you as a Gentile. We've been through that a long time. So Deuteronomy 18:15. The Lord thy God will raise up thee a prophet from the midst of thee. This is talking about the Son of Man again. Like unto me, unto him you shall hearken. So there's Moses telling us that God is going to have to come down in human flesh as a prophet. Not a prophet, but the prophet. Amen? Because Brother Branham even tells us that who was the prophet of the end time. He said the Lord Jesus Christ is the prophet of the end time. Amen? He used William Branham's voice many, many thousands and hundreds of thousands of times. But William Marion Branham can't heal you. He can't even give you a revelation. Only God can give you a revelation. But he used a vessel that we, giving signs and wonders, that we can look and see all the different signs in his life, and we can see that God had to work through that man. I don't see how people can't see that God didn't work through that man. And they call him a deceiver and everything else, but listen, they called God Almighty a deceiver. When Jesus was on earth, they called him everything in the world. Beelzebub, deceiver, and all these other things. Because he didn't come the normal way. Brother Branham didn't come the normal way. You know, it's okay to quote Moody and Calvin and Sankey and the different ones. You know, they're people are pretty calm when you quote them. Or James Dobson or Jensen Franklin. Like, see how calm this is? they go, oh yeah, okay, let's just. Max Licato, and you got all these good guys. Then you say, Brother Branham said, and they go, what? Who is this man? What's he telling me what to do? You know why? Because he wasn't in the normal. He came here to what? To give us the true word of God. All the others are okay, but he came for God to speak through him, and he yielded himself. We were talking about downstairs. Sister Cleta was actually in that meeting I was talking about where they divided up the auditorium when he preached marriage and divorce, and who is this, Melchizedek, the night after that. So, all right, let's go to Matthew 16, and let's read real quick. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? This is where I get all this. Everything is built around this because look what they said. I'm going to try to word this right. Some say thou art John the Baptist. Some say this. In other words, you know, if you've got Brother Branham or Samuel Dale or whoever that's a pillar of the you know, Donnie Reagan and different ones, and he asked a question, and they said, well, some of you say you got this doctrine, and somebody said you got this, and then you follow this guy, and you follow this person. And he stopped. He says, no, who do you say I am? Who do you say? That's what God's asking you today. Are you following John the Baptist? I hope not. John the Baptist introduced Christ. He's not in the Laodicean church age. Amen? Who you follow? Oh, James Dobson. Well, James Dobson is not a prophet. He might be a good guy, and he does have some good things to say, but he's not somebody that can divide the word. Because all those people that I mentioned, they were all Trinitarians. They all believed in, you know, denominations. So that's why I said what Brother Brown said. You got to start thinking a new way. Even when you come to the Lord in this message by the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the Son of God revelation, it is a different revelation than what they get out there. Amen? But then we got to take that and go further than that because nobody teaches. I don't say nobody in the message. I'm just saying you don't hear this in the denomination. They really, all they do with the statue of perfect man is says, you ain't perfect and I ain't perfect. Talk to them every once in a while and you nail it down. First thing they say, I ain't perfect and you ain't perfect. You don't need to be cutting your hair and wearing shorts and, you know, you start listing off the things you shouldn't do. They're, well, you ain't perfect and I ain't perfect. You know what they're telling you? I ain't perfect so I can continue to do that and God's going to allow me to do that. That ain't happening. That's not my revelation. That's not your revelation. That may be their revelation, but it's not our revelation. And that revelation will not take you to the Son of Man revelation. Amen. We're trying to get, this is the vehicle that's going to take us from the Son of God revelation to the Son of Man revelation. You gotta have the Son of God first. You gotta have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Seek it every day of your life. I was up late last night, and that was one of the things I said, God, don't let me be that person that comes to you and says, have I not cast out devils, preached the gospel? And he said, depart from me, I never knew you. What a horrible thing that you've spent. A lot of people have spent most of their lives trying to do that, and they've been deceived. God, don't let me be deceived. Amen. God, don't let me be deceived. So he saith unto them, but who say ye that I am? I'm asking you today. That's their question. Who is that I am? He says, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Basically, he was saying, you're the Creator. You're the Son of God. You're God made manifest down here on earth, and that's what's inside of you. But I cannot understand how that all goes together. That's pretty much what he was saying. Because if he'd have known and put it together, he'd have never run away from Jesus at the cross. He'd have knew when Jesus said, because look at all the times, and we'll get into it because I was reading it yesterday, the day before yesterday, in the Gospels. He told them, he said, I'm going to die. Yes. I'm going to give my life in the hands of these people. I'm going to be in the grave for 3 days. The third day I'm going to raise from the dead. He laid the plan out for them. Right. And they didn't believe one word he said. Not one. Destroy this temple. I'll raise it up in 3 days. Oh, he's going to knock that temple down. That temple was probably as big as the Taj Mahal. And he said, he's going to knock that thing down and build it back in 3 days? They never understood. What a depressing thing, maybe, that Jesus, I wonder why he sits sometimes maybe in thought, I'm lonely. Nobody knows. It's like Brother Branham in the sixth seal. He's standing there at the pulpit as lonely as can be. When he said, it's gone from you. It's not for you. Go on and live a simple Christian life. In other words, you're not going to get what I'm saying. But it won't return void. Somebody's going to get it. So Jesus was there, and Jesus, that's why in John 17, he prayed for me and you. Even though we were still locked up inside of him, and we had no genealogy out here in the world 2,000 years ago, right? He was praying for me and you when we got here. Amen? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I was going to be short today, but I don't think so. I don't think I decided not to be. And Jesus answered and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. You see there, you look at that, and you see, Peter didn't understand what he had till the day of Pentecost. Or he could have turned that key several times in his life, but he didn't. He didn't have it. He was giving him the keys, but it wasn't right then. It was potentially. He said, but I know Jesus was going, now, Peter, when you get the Holy Ghost, you're going to know where that key's at, and you're going to know how to use it. Right now, you're not going to know, because all Peter wanted to do was fight people and cut their ears off and stab somebody. You know, he wanted, Lord, you will never deny you. Yeah, right. Yeah, right, Peter. Yeah. He said, but I prayed for you, Peter. He said, I saw Satan sift you like sand. He said, but I prayed for you. Now, don't you think John 17, he did the same thing for me and you. He prayed for us that we would make it. And we're going to make it. He prayed for us that we're going to make it. And we are going to make it. And upon this rock, I'll build my church. So 2,000 years, he built his church on the revelation of the Son of Man, Son of God. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'll give thee the keys of the kingdom. Now, we read that number one on thirst. The prophet of God tells us to know him as life, the person, Christ himself, not comparing. It's a revelation that God built his church upon. And if we don't build upon that same church, the Bible says, able by faith. And faith is a divine revelation. See, faith is a divine revelation, all right? You know, Brother Brown said one time, he said, Brother Brown, what is a new birth? He said, it's a personal revelation of Jesus Christ, personally to you. So that's what this is right here. It's the person. Faith is a divine revelation. This whole thing is built on the revelation then. And unless it's revealed to you, Jesus said, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hid these things from the wise of, or the view of the wise of this world and revealed it to babes such as will learn. See, the whole thing is built. You've got to know the person. And who is that person? The Son of Man. Now, you got to know the Son of God. We know that, but you got to move it up. Now, this is one I want to stop. If we don't get much further, that's okay. It's just kind of background, but I want to get to Ezekiel. But let's go to number two, what visions are. Now, this is where Brother Brown's talking. Now, what's he doing? He's telling us, this is in 1956. He hasn't had the seals revealed to him yet. He knows maybe that something's coming. He knows, and as a prophet, he sees things going to transpire. He knows, though, that his, you take all the quotes where Brother Brown said, not in the years of preparation, or not when he starts his message. He's talking about himself. Not in the healing campaign, I believe it's in Choosing of a Bride. He said, but when he comes to start his message. So this is what he's talking about here. Now watch. Now when the Holy Spirit fell on the church, it was in the eastern people in Jerusalem. That's where the Holy Ghost fell, and great signs and wonders was done by the church in the early Pentecostal age of the early church. Then the next round of apostles, then came in the Catholic Church, then 1,500 years, then the Lutherans. Then from all that down, it's been a day where the light went out, and it's been a daylight enough that you could see that Jesus was the Son of God, and you should repent, but the real bright light of the Holy Ghost has never shined through these ages. Now stop right there. I was trying to... This is the only thing I can come up with that'll help us is, number one, in the early church ages, the Bible was not written. Bible was not written until the age of man, which is Luther and Wesley, right? So all they had was, the resources they had was maybe somebody wrote something down. Maybe somebody, listen, if you went and heard somebody preach like Paul or Peter, you just had to get it by rote recall. You had to bring it up in your brain. You couldn't say, well, now if you'll go over there and listen to that tape, see how we, now, what did he say? Because remember, Paul was so misunderstood, there was a group that was preaching that Paul was preaching that the resurrection had already happened. Right? Philetus and Hymenaeus, I believe it was. And they tried to get him to stop, and they wouldn't stop, and you know, the Lord did what he did, but it's because they didn't have resources. But see, God knew that. That's the plan of God, because here's the program. The program is the same Holy Ghost, but remember, there's four characteristics of the Holy Ghost. The lion, the ox, the man, and the eagle. And see, that's in Ezekiel. So that sets the pattern that you couldn't have a man age in the first church age. It's not required. It was the boldness of a lion. Speak the word of God. Do the things of God. Be like Serentius. Was it Serentius? Yeah. In the bathhouse saying, I'm not going to have anything to do with, or the Irenaeus saying, I'm not going to have anything to do with Serentius because Serentius said that Jesus wasn't God. Right? So the boldness of a lion. The Bible was not even written. The resources were not there. But the lion, then you had the ox. He said the 1500 years of, well, that's tribulation, the Catholic Church. What'd they do? They just shut the light off. They said, you gotta believe in me. And if we had the church ages up here, remember that fourth church age is about the same as our church age. Just a little bit of light. Amen? Because there's 1500 years of dark ages, and they didn't have enough word. I mean, even Columba was a messenger of that age, and he died before the age started. So it had to be what the preachers preached. You understand? You see how difficult? Listen, it's difficult for y'all to even to listen to a sermon. And you can press play anytime you want to. Hard for us to read a book. We got them right here in front of us. Sometimes it's hard for us to read the Bible. And there's Bibles on every bookshelf. But for them, it just wasn't there. There was no resources. But you know what? God honored it because God said, that's my people. They are under the messenger of their hour, and they're doing what he said. The best of their ability. So now watch Brother Branham saying. Then from then on down, it's been a day where the light went out. And it's been a daylight enough that you could see that Jesus was the Son of God. You should repent. But the real bright light of the Holy Ghost has never shined through these ages. Certainly, the Bible said it wouldn't. As the prophet said it wouldn't. Just as sure as he said they couldn't believe because Isaiah said there hasn't been light because the prophet said. There's been enough light to know that you ought to do right and wrong. There's been enough light to know that you believed on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, accept him as your personal savior, put your name on the church book, and live the good life. All right, I read that this morning. That's the Son of God revelation. That's what God said. Jesus said, look, I'm going to make it real simple. This is how I'm going to build my church. Now, I'm going to have a group of people that I'm going to build on more because remember, Zerubbabel had to come and clean everything off and build a pyramid. Amen? He had to clean that off to build a pyramid, which the pyramid is the stature of a perfect man. They didn't have the statue of a perfect man back then. Like I said, the Bible wasn't written until the 1500s, somewhere in there. So they didn't have a Bible to read. They didn't read what Peter wrote. Maybe somebody got a hold of the Bible and would read it, but it was secondhand information. They could change it. I wonder why the Catholic Church, why they were so powerful. There was nothing for them. They held the Latin Vulgate. They held everything that was of history. So they just said, nah, we don't need to do it. You just listen to what the priest said. Yeah, we're going to have a Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism. Yeah, I know they didn't baptize that way in the early church, but we're going to do it this way now. See, there was nothing to combat that, and God had to literally wink at their ignorance. He had to wink because there's a lot of people, even Luther was a Trinitarian, Wesley was a Trinitarian. The first church, the Pentecostal church of 1906 Azusa Street, they were Trinitarians, but God winked at their ignorance. Look, knowing that somebody was coming. That's us. That would know the full word of God. That would not be just a small light. It would be a full manifestation of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I don't know. I just like being a child of God. Well, that's okay. That's all right. If that's what you want to be, you can stop yourself anytime you want to. Because you're a free moral agent and you can do it. But you know what? I don't want to taste death. May have to, but I sure don't want to. Because God promised me there was somebody that wouldn't. Now boy, what a great thing. You say, well, that ought to make you feel good. Well, no, it ought to make you real humble. That God could bring you something. That as we were singing about the saints, you realize they're waiting on you and me, a group of people that's going to see the Son of Man revelation, and it's going to be so strong, it's going to be like Lazarus, come forth. But we're not going to just call one person out. It's going to be a whole seven church ages are going to be called out of the ground. And you know what? It's not going to take a lot of effort. It's just going to be being at the right place in the right position. And listen, having the resources. We have the resources now to study more than anybody's ever studied before. We can take words and run them all the way back into the wherever. They didn't have that. We have that now. Where we can study as ministers and you can study as laity and we can put these things together and the Holy Ghost can really work. I believe Brother Branham said, you know, you wait. He said, this is just in part. Brother Branham was just in part. Because it was one man. But when you get a worldwide church full of people, now look, it's not going to be billions. It's probably not even going to be millions. But it's going to be a small group that's going to be connected together by the Holy Ghost. Not by the internet, but by the Holy Ghost. We're going to be connected together and we're going to bring the dead saints out of the ground. I just believe that 100% because that's what the Bible said. It's the same Holy Ghost, but they didn't have much to work in back then. So, not belittling those people. Because you got to include Paul, and Paul wrote 80% of the New Testament, so you can't belittle those people. But they had their time. I was thinking in there a few minutes ago, that's why the Bible says the last will be first, and the first will be last. Why? We got more revelation than they do. The last church age, the last church age messenger, the last bride has got more revelation than the first church age. So the last, us, will come up first, then the first is going to come up last. That's the way the Bible says it. Amen? Now we can skip over, let's go to the next one, says Son of God is who? We know He's the Creator. He's the one that steps out and says, let there be. He's the one that started all this. Amen? And as He started it, He's going to finish it. He couldn't be the Son of Man back then because, like I said before, Eve's womb was already polluted. Her brain womb up here was already polluted. And then her natural womb got polluted. And God said, I'll not dwell in an unclean vessel. I'm not going to come through something unclean. But I'll put enmity. And then a virgin shall conceive. And I'm going to come in. I'm going to come away where nobody has ever come this way before. Nobody. Nobody's ever been born like this. And that's the way I'm going to be born, because I'm going to clean that womb out. I'm going to clean the womb. I'm going to clean the people up. I'm going to come back. I'm going to come into the people. I'm going to keep them clean, and I'm going to come back again in the end time, and I'm going to really clean them up. I'm going to clean their body up, which to me is totally a miracle. As much as the flesh gets beaten, listen, I'm going to live in this flesh for an eternity. Not like you see it, but I'm going to live in this flesh. I'm so connected to God. He was so connected to me. He put mom and dad together and brought the right flesh here for my soul to fit in. Amen. 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 He did that. Yes. Brother Brown said he bred this one to this one. This one to this one. How many stories have you hear of how y'all got together or how your mama got together or how your daddy was in the war and everybody got killed but him? Why? If you're predestinated, it's because of you. You're the one that kept them from dying, because if they die, you're done. That's what I told them when we were in Virginia. I was preaching for Brother Ron Spencer, and I told him, I said, you know, the Civil War up here happened a lot. I said, there were 600,000 men got killed in the Civil War. Now that was during the whole part of the war. 600,000 men. So that's 600,000 generations. Because when you die, you don't, unless they had already had children or started having children, a lot of them are really young. I said, do you know you live here in Virginia? I said, you know it's a miracle you got here? Because most of those people died were from Virginia and different places like that. I said, it was a miracle how that your daddy made it through the Civil War. And then here come you. Why? It was God. It was those angels flicking the bullets out of the way. Or turning you in a direction to where that you can't be harmed. Thank God. That he thought enough for you to do that. He thought enough to get your flesh here. He already had your soul. And knew what you were going to do. And he brought you down here in human flesh. That's why I love that Genesis 1:26, man. It didn't stay in spirit form. It was put in flesh. God was happy when he put it in flesh. He knew they were going to fall, but he was still happy. And he was happy when you came, born in sin, shaped in iniquity. Spouse from your mother's womb, a liar, doomed and on your way to hell. God said, hang on, devil, just give him a minute. Just give him a few years. Don't worry. You can give him all kind of trouble, but he's just like Job. He said, but you can't touch his soul. You can't kill him. You can give him all kind of problems you want to, but you just don't touch his soul. He said, because that one's mine. And he's got to come, or she's got to come to this place right here. Now, devil, you don't know it because you're not in my mind. But he said, okay, you can do what you need to do, but you can't take their life. You see how much God is working to get you here? This may not be part of the sermon, but this is part of the Son of Man. If we're going to be the part of the Son of Man to play, we got to be alive. We got to be here. And we got to believe who we are. So after the fall, let's skip on through. We know about Genesis 1:26. Let's go to Genesis 6, verse 8. After the fall, there was no way for man to fellowship with God. This is what was formed, was Genesis 1:26. Then he put the 1:26 in the 2:7 man and was supposed to start bringing children by the spoken word of God. We know that didn't happen, all right? So keep going to the next one, Genesis 3:15. Then Genesis 6, verse 8. So after the fall, there was no way for man to fellowship with God the way he wanted him to fellowship. I picked up my favorite book two nights ago, Oneness with God, 1962, February. Read it. Boy, I'm telling you. He said, there was God and Adam and Eve in the garden talking. He said, true oneness. Now that's three people. That's three people. He said, true oneness. Was God talking to Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. That's true oneness. Because listen, true oneness is all of us millions that's going to be living in that new city. That's true oneness. Listen, when the world that lives outside, that makes it by the skin of their teeth, and they're living outside the city, and they see all of us living inside the city, they're going to go, those people are Jesus Christ made manifest in another form called a bride. They're going to know who you are. They're going to know and give you honor. We made it. But there was no way for man to fellowship with God. So God had to allow the bulls and goats, like Bob was talking about today. There had to be a holy of holies, and there had to be a law given, and there had to be this, and there had to be that given. All down through the church ages, church ages in the Old Testament. The Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So Luke 17 verse 26 says, as it was in the days of Noah, because remember it says it was also in the days of the Son of Man. Not when the Son of Man is revealed, but in the days of the Son of Man. You have to get on down to where Genesis 18:3, we're going to skip through this real quick. Genesis 18:3, he said, my Lord. Now I want to read you a quote. They don't have it there. It's off of Who Is This Melchizedek. Y'all ought to read that one too. How many times have I told y'all to read three or four? You know, so whatever. You need to read a book. Read a book this week, okay? Everybody gets the Book of the Month Club and you start reading a book. So, hello. Your Book of the Month Club is Who Is This Melchizedek? Read the book. And Oneness with God. It's not Publisher or Clearinghouse either, Aaron. It's not. Y'all have my own book club. All right, read this book. But who is this Melchizedek? Now look, We're talking about, now we've up to Abraham real quick here. Now God in this stage, it's this stage of his creation later formed into flesh, Jesus. He's talking about, who's this Melchizedek? Because remember, Melchizedek was not Jesus Christ, the flesh. Melchizedek was not your Savior in the form he was in. When he was only a prophet to prophesy to Abraham to tell him according to the time of life. But now remember, he had to be Almighty God because he had to change Sarah's womb and change them back to young people. Now, a normal human being can't do that. It had to be God. So from what? From the great beginning spirit, then came down to be... Well, you don't have... Oh, you got... Hey, good job. From the great spirit, beginning spirit, then came down to be the Word, bringing itself out. The Word doesn't yet make itself. It's just spoke out in Morphe. Later he becomes flesh, Jesus, mortal, to taste death for all of us sinners. When Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek. He unfolds here what all the attributes, what are me and you? We're the attributes of God. So he's talking to me and you. Alright? When Abraham met him, he was Melchizedek. He unfolds here what all the attributes will do in the final end. Every son of Abraham, every son of the faith will absolutely do the same thing. Then he starts talking about Ruth and Boaz. But what is it? What did they do? They met God in human flesh. And he changed their body. Isn't that what we're looking at? We're looking to a body change. All right. So every son of the faith in the final end will do the same thing. We gotta come, we gotta be able to identify this Lord. Not three, but one. See how important that is if Brother Brown brought the revelation of one God? We wouldn't be able to fulfill that. If he didn't bring us back to the revelation of one true and living God. Because Abraham is the father of our faith. And we have faith in that there's one God. I don't have faith that there's three. I got faith that there's one God. And listen, he lives in your heart. He's not. The third person of the Trinity doesn't live in your soul. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Okay. No, all three of them live in your soul. Amen. The three manifestations of one God lives in your soul. All right. Then my Lord means of men. I want to try to skip through all this because I want to get something here to end. And remember that was the definition of Lord is Adonai, which means of men, or the title spoken in place of Yahweh in Jewish display of reverence. That's why Brother Brown said when he called him Lord, he knew who he was. Same way with Paul. Paul said Lord, he was doing the same thing. He was calling him the same thing when he said Lord. All right, so let's continue on. Genesis 18, verse 22. And the men turned their face from thence and went toward Sodom. We talked about that this morning, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So what happened? Billy Graham and Oral Roberts went to the world. And they blinded the eyes of the people, brought some people in. Listen, let me say one more time. He didn't send Billy Graham and Oral Roberts just to blind people and not get any fruit for their labor. They're identified in the scripture as the two prophets that went to Sodom. I'm just telling you what Brother Brown said. And he said they had the Holy Ghost. Well, see why, you say, well, and I've had people ask me, said, well, why didn't they accept the message? It wasn't theirs to accept. They had their own message. If they had a message and the prophet identified where they were going, sure, I believe Billy Graham and Oral Roberts. There'll be people under their message that receives the Holy Ghost, under their message, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. All right, everybody got that? I don't want to kick people out. I'd rather put people in. I don't want to kick, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah didn't make it. But at least three of them did. I mean, three people came out of Sodom and Gomorrah. At least those three people come out and believe the message of their hour. That was a lukewarm church, the one we talked about this morning, the center of the lukewarm church and the elect. Now, the elect stayed right here. The elect stayed with what? The Son of Man revelation. Amen? Because listen, Abraham did know that was God in human flesh. If he called him my Lord and he looked at him and fed him a calf and give him butter and let him sit down in a chair, washed his feet, he knew that was a man, but he knew that God was in that man. He might not have understood totally, but he knew, my Lord, you've come to visit me. Have we had a visitation? You got to have a visitation in your life. You may not have to be on the plains of memory, and you may not have to be here and there, but you need to have a visitation from God. That you know that you know. That backside of the desert experience that Brother Brown's talking about. You said, oh, Brother Wade, that's just for preachers. I think it's for everybody. I think it's for everybody. We all ought to have a backside of the desert experience where we meet God. And we won't see him in a burning bush. We'll see him as a person. Amen? Because he is a person. All right, so Genesis 19, verse 1. The two angels go to Sodom. They bring Lot out. He says, my lords. But Luke 17, 28 through 30 is what Brother Branham always keys in on where it comes to Lot. We're right before the destruction of the world, or Sodom. This is what's got to happen. Likewise, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold. Don't know what's happening now. They planted, they builded. It's not too, you can't buy much now. Supply chain, if y'all want anything for Christmas, you better buy it now. There's several thousand boats sitting out there in the ocean with product on it that I talked to a guy this morning. He ordered some bee equipment and be here in 3 to 6 months. 3 to 6 months. So, I'm just saying, we may have to pray a little bit before we get out of this place. This may be our persecution coming where we can't find stuff. Amen? And it's not stuff we want. Listen, God ain't in your wants. He's in your needs. He ain't in your wants. Amen? Let's just pray that all the equipment comes for this stuff, Richard Roberts. We're having a hard time getting, you know, we've already got the screens up here for our, to put our, we can get rid of this thing and we're going to put them right here and put all the songs on it. But it's, and they're undertaking. I looked at that thing y'all were doing, you and Anderson. Good grief. The schematics. Oh, thank God y'all doing it. If it was color coded, I couldn't do it. But pray for them that we'll get the equipment and we'll get them in here because they're going to have to run all new wires. All these cameras are outdated. I didn't know if you knew that or not. All these cameras now are outdated. We're going to high definition something, something, something where we're going to have to make sure, Dad, we're going to have to make sure our hair's right. Everybody be able to see every hair on your head. Mine maybe 3 or 4, but that's okay. But listen, remember, that's what's happened in Sodom. Before the destruction came. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man... Listen, when the Son of Man is revealed, it's going to be just a very short work and we're going to be out of here and God's going to rain down fire on Sodom and Gomorrah natural. Here, on this earth. Amen? I mean, it's just going to be a real short time. There's not going to be a church age or not going to be years, no. I believe it's going to happen boom, 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 and it may happen as soon as we get out of here. Amen? But even though shall it be in the day when the Son of Man, look, is revealed. Not just shows up, but revealed. We know who he is, we know where he's at, and we know why he's here. Amen? That's our situation that we are not fully taking and saying, well, it's like the brother said this weekend, well, we know the Son of Man. People's preached on the Son of Man and preached on the Son of Man. We know that we're under the... See, people know that we're under the ministry of the Son of Man. Listen, if you don't have the revelation of it, you're not. Not trying to be mean. But if you're not under that and you don't... And like he said, I couldn't separate them and know why the Son of Man had to come. And so they just put him on a shelf. I believe the message. So I must believe the Son of Man. No. 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 Revealed. Revealed. It's got to be revealed. It's something that's got to be made. Listen, to reveal something is what? You didn't know it to begin with. What is a mystery? Something previously hidden. Amen? And I believe Revelation 10:7 says, at the sounding of the seventh church age messenger, when the mystery of God should be finished. The whole message. Amen? And let's look at this. We all know, let's go to Moses. We didn't read it this morning. Exodus 33. Now watch. Many times Moses has said, God, I'd like to see you. God, I'd like to see you. Now the Bible says that Moses spoke lip to ear to God. That means God said, Moses, this is what I want you to do. Not from somebody else. Moses, this is what I want you to do. But he had never seen him. I'm fixing to tell it right here. And the Lord said unto Moses, now look, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken. Moses was a prophet. Moses was a major prophet. But he had to come to a position before God showed himself to him. Now, that's what I'm talking about, me and you. You can't just say I'm in the message. You can't just say I've got tenure. I mean, really? I've been in the message 35 years. I know the book numbers and I know the colors of the book. Some of y'all don't even know the book's had a color. I pulled one out and read it the other day in Kentucky. The Anointed Ones at the End Time. And I believe it was like a gray book. And somebody said, what is that? I said, that's a message book. You ought to read them sometime. It was one of the older books that was by color. So, and the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing that thou hast spoken. Look. With a condition. For thou hast found grace in my sight. Moses has been with him a long time. And I know thee by name. Now wait a minute. He called Moses 80 years ago. This was the Exodus. He called him, at least 40 years ago in the burning bush. And I know thee by name. Moses had come to a position to where God could show himself to him. That's the same thing that's going to happen to me and you. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. That was Moses. And God said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I may be gracious, and show mercy on whom I will show mercy. But there was a condition. Because Moses was not a son of God. He didn't have the Holy Ghost. He had an anointing, but he didn't have the Holy Ghost in his soul. And he said, thou can't see my face. Why? Why? He'd seen Jesus Christ, but he wouldn't have known who he was. He wouldn't have known who he was because he didn't have the new birth. So God's not going to show you something and you not know who he is. You understand what I'm saying? There's a position. God just didn't just say, look, now that you've been in the message for 15 minutes, I'm going to show you everything. 20 minutes. I'm going to show you this everything. I'm just going to lay it out here. No, he's not going to do that. Because listen, God is very specific.
Amen.
And you can't just be frivolous. And you can't just say, well, like I said, I've been sitting in this church for 40 years. I ought to know what God is. Well, you may not know no more about God than what Brother Bradham said, a Hottentot knew about an Egyptian knife. Whatever. What is that? You ever Googled that? Neither have I. I'm afraid to. And he said, thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. Now look, when he became Jesus Christ, everybody saw his face.
Amen.
When he was born on earth as the Son of Man, which he wasn't at the time, right? He's developed. He's now Jehovah. He's the great Lord God Almighty. He's the great one that was in the burning bush. He was the great one that came to Joshua. He was the great one that does these different things. But he said, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there's a place by me and thou shalt stand upon a rock. Because look, Son of Man. Moses couldn't see the Son of Man. He didn't have a revelation for the Son of Man. See my face? See my face? Because remember, he saw what? The back part of a man. He didn't see his face. He saw the back part. The backside. Back here. Because his revelation couldn't show him the front. But I thought the Bible said me and you are to behold him face to face. Now what's the difference in Moses and us? We got the new birth. We got a revelation. We've come to a position. But watch. And thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passed by, which is his theophany, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock. Now that is not cleft. C-L-E-F-T. It's C-L-I-F-T. All right? We'll get into that maybe later on. I don't want to deal with it today. Because we sometimes we quote it wrong. It's not cleft. It's cleft. It's two different words. Of the rock. Not a rock either. The rock. And will cover thee with my hand while I pass. You see what God did in Luther's age? He covered Luther's eyes to the revelation of one true and living God. He covered Wesley's eyes to the Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism and allowed them to do that because it wasn't time for them to see him face to face. It wasn't time for people to see him like they did 2,000 years ago. Partial revelation. He covered up their eyes. And I will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand and thou shalt see the back part. Because remember, he walked by. And Moses looked and saw a man, saw the back part of a man. But my face shall not be seen. That's the revelation of the Son of Man. That's me. That's me. Because face is personal. You don't know that person unless you look at them in the face. And when you look at them in the face, you get a revelation of who that person is. Man, woman, old, young, pretty, not so pretty. But it's by the face. So that's what I see. And when I looked, I said, man. And I wrote myself a question. I said, why? Why couldn't Moses see his face? It wasn't time for him to be revealed that way. But now's time for him to be revealed. Amen? Now we look through a glass darkly, but now face to face. All right, let's skip on through to number four. We know that he met Joshua. He met the captain of the host. We talked about that this morning. Let's get to this one like we were this morning. Now look, now notice, he came first as a prophet. They crucified him. That's the Son of Man. His own crucified him. He came as the Son of Man. Then after the Holy Spirit came, he was then the Son of God. God is a Spirit. He was the Holy Spirit, Son of God. He lived through the church ages as the Son of God. Now in the millennium, he'll be Son of David. And real quick, I want to throw this in for a couple of people that asked me a question about why the millennium's not to us. Because it's not promised to us. Gentiles are not promised a millennium. Bride is not promised a millennium because we're eternal. A millennium is 1,000 years. We covered this, you know, several weeks ago in the in the eternal redemption. So that's why the millennium is not to the bride. We're there on a honeymoon. We're just there like we're going to go and we've got reservations and we're going to go to this place for 1,000 years. Because listen, Son of David has nothing to do with us. Remember the Syrophoenician woman said, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Said he didn't even pay her any attention. You see what I mean about position? There's position. She said, Lord, and he turned. She said, Son of David, Brother Branham said she had no possession. In other words, nothing to deal with him. She was a Gentile. And the Son of David is to the Jews. Yes. Thou Son of David, have mercy on me. But now remember, she was a Gentile. But now remember, Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus was a Jew. When Bartimaeus, when Jesus walked by, said, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. They said he turned. And he said, come here. Bring him here. Why? Because he was a Jew. So there you go. The millennium is to the Jews. The millennium is not to the Gentiles. And that, see, to me that proves position. I want you to start thinking about position. It's not just that we got tenure, that we've been in the message, that we've heard Brother Dale for 40 years. It does help a lot. It helps a lot. But it's not just because of that. We're not doing these things just because of. We're doing it because we reach a position. Moses reached a position where God said, okay, I'll let you see me now. In other words, you wouldn't understand what I was back then. But you can understand me now. See, that's what I'm praying for. That I'll understand a present God. I think I've got the God that was back there 2,000 years ago. The Son of God that came back on the day of Pentecost. I've got him in my soul. Amen? By the new birth. But I want that Son of Man to come to me. Because now we can receive him because we're in the time of receiving where he's to be revealed. Now, how's the Son of Man going to be revealed? He's got to be revealed in flesh. And he can't be revealed in his own flesh he walked 2,000 years ago. He's only can be revealed in your flesh and my flesh. Just like I said this morning. In the flesh of the church of the living God. Not that church out there. But in the flesh of the bride, God is going to reveal himself. Just for a moment, we saw it in William Branham. Just for a moment. But he said, what you saw in part, you'll see in its fullness. What is the fullness? When everybody, or most people, get a revelation of the Son of Man, we'll be an invincible army. Now in the millennium, he'll be Son of David, sitting on the throne of his father, David. Because what was David? David was a Jew. He is the son of David, and then that's not now. He's not now the son of David. Does everybody understand that? He is the son of David, comma, now he's going to make a point, now. Now remember, between the Son of God and the Laodicean church age, they put him out. He's knocking at the door. And in Luke, he said he would be revealed again as Son of Man, the prophet, fulfilling the rest of it. The scriptures tie perfectly together. Son of Man, Son of God, Son of David. What is it? It's the same God all the time, just changing his form in morphe. He changed it, just a great drama to him. He's acting it out. Now, who's he acting it for? He's not acting it for himself. He's acting it out so we can see the steps of what we've got to do. Every son of the faith is going to take this journey just like Abraham did. And what? Listen, you say, oh, no, that was right there when he met Melchizedek. No, that was when he started back when God called him. In Genesis 14, 15, 16, justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost. Come into circumcision. Come into body change. Come into producing the promised child. Right. Amen. Amen? He couldn't produce that promised child under Son of God revelation. It had to be under Son of Man revelation. Right. Right. That's us, folks. Yes. Right. I hope you see this. Number five. Proving his word. This is one we read this morning. Let's just read the red part. Well, I got red in mine. Now remember, let's see if we can find that one. Now remember, there you go. He came in three names, Son of Man, a prophet, Son of God, the Spirit, Son of David for the millennium. But in between this conjunction, now according to his own words, in the days when the Son of Man shall be revealed, Luke 17:30, reveal himself as what? Not Son of God. So listen, we should have the Son of God revelation.
Right.
And have it right. All the major doctrines, no eternal hell, Father, Son, Holy Ghost baptism is not true. You understand what I mean?
Amen.
Everybody got that?
Amen.
Will reveal himself in a different way. I'm telling you what the prophet said. Now what does that make? Malachi 4 is exactly right. So in other words, you know what he was doing? God was identifying, if you're going to get anything from the Son of Man, about the Son of Man, you got to listen to Malachi 4. Luke 17:30, Revelation 10:7. He's pointing us, not to the man.
That's right.
Elijah, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet, the spirit of Elijah, in a man called William Branham, but not the Son of Man, a Son of Man, revealing the Son of Man. The Son of Man will reveal himself, not in a whole big denomination as we've had through the ages, but he would manifest himself as Son of Man again to make manifest Malachi 4. And in that day I will send you Elijah the prophet, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers, faith of the apostolic fathers. Away from all this, scroll on up for me, please, denominationalism, and come back to the original word again. All right, let's go to Ezekiel 2, verse 1. We'll read this real quick. We'll be done. Only been an hour. Now look. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me. So remember, Ezekiel's not a son of God. The Spirit had to enter him. The Spirit had to anoint him. Listen, if the Spirit entered you today, be careful. You got the new birth, but you should have brought him with you. Amen. Many anointings, but, many fillings, so we're not talking about that. Ezekiel was not a son of God, but he was, look, he showed him so much, this capital S-O-N, son of man, stand upon thy feet, and set me upon my feet that I heard him that spake unto me. Now I want you to look at this real quick, because there's a revelation in here I want you to get. And he said unto me, son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel. Now listen, in type, who are we? In type, we're Israel. He's going to send Ezekiel. Listen, the person Ezekiel is going to be anointed to speak to Israel common. Real Israel at that time. To prophesy. Son of man, prophesy. But remember, it has a twofold meaning. You and I, by revelation, are Israel. Right? Alright? And the Spirit entered me. No. And he said unto me, son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day. Now watch. I'm going to go through this and I'll go through it again. But watch how this goes even through our church ages. Rebellious generation. Transgressed against me even to this very day. For they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord God. How many of these people said, thus saith the Lord? Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columba, I know they all did. Brother Ram said they had, thus saith the Lord. All right? And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, he said that twice, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Now, do you know if you've had a prophet among you? All right? And thou, son of man, little s, so he's talking to Ezekiel, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. What did the angel tell Brother Branham? That don't be afraid of anything. You get the people to believe you, not even cancer will stand in your way. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them. Remember, that's little s. That's not big s, that's little s. Be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks. It's pretty much, he's coming to a place to where they're not going to be able to touch him, because God's going to get the word out. Alright? And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat what I give thee. Now we're fixing to go to Revelations 10, 8. Okay? So we're going to tie these two together. Because what is Revelations 10, 8? A flesh man. John. Standing on Patmos. Telling the angel to give me the book. But thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like the rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat what I give thee. And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book. Remember, they didn't have books back then. It was scrolls. Rolled up scrolls, like a roll. Right? But it's the same book. A roll of a book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without. Isn't that Revelation 5? Written on the inside and the outside? And when I looked, behold, a hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of book was therein. And he spread it before me, and it was written within and without, and there was written therein lamentation and mourning and woe. All right, let's go to 3. This is, go to chapter 3. He continues his thought. Moreover, he saith unto me, son of man, eat what thou findest. Now, why didn't he tell John the same thing, right? Eat the book. Eat this roll and go speak unto the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth and he caused me to eat that roll. And he said unto me, son of man, cause thy belly to eat and fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Sounds like Revelation 10, 8, right? And fill thy bowels with this roll that I give thee. Then did I eat, and it was in my mouth as honey for sweetness. It left off the bitterness. Why did it leave off the bitterness? Remember in Revelations 10, 8 and 9, it says that in my belly, and my mouth was sweet as honey, and my belly was... He didn't have a new birth. He didn't have a new birth. We have the new birth. When we eat it, we got to live it. Ezekiel didn't so much have to live it like we live it. So it wasn't, it was sweet to him because he, what did he do? He prophesied. He spoke back to him. But listen, John not only had to speak back, he's got to live it. So do me and you. We got to live it. And he said unto me, son of man, go and get thee into the house of Israel and speak with my words unto them. All right, Ezekiel, let's read this right here. This is my one of my favorite scriptures. This is talking about God in human flesh. We're going to talk about some dry bones. And he said unto me, son of man, capital S, if you don't see that. Can these bones live? And I answered, oh Lord God, you're the only one that knows, because all I see is a bunch of dry bones. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones. Prophesy upon these bones. And say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. What takes you out of your dry darkness and death? The word of God. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones. That's got to be something to do with, listen, you got flesh on the outside, but you got bones on the inside. Okay? Oh, ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you. There's four things that happens here. We know that. Right. The four, Brother Brown preached this in Restoration of the Bride Tree. He talks about the four life messengers and four death messengers. But we'll not cover that because we need to get out of here. And put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Right. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. Brother Branham, let me read real quick one quote. Brother Branham says, there must have been a lot of noise. He's talking about a Pentecostal revival. He said, there must have been a lot of noise, shaking, a lot of noise. But he said, but look, when the skin came on them and the meat came on them, there wasn't much noise. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Because the Son of Man had breath. All right? Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, Son of Man. Preachers, because that's a little s. That's a little s, not a big s, that's a little s. Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, Son of Man. In other words, preach this message. Say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. There's no way you're going to get breath from God without hearing it from somebody that's got breath of God. Amen? You got to hear somebody that's got the breath of God. Or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, okay? Not your own breath. Sorry, it's the breath of God. And breathe upon these slain that they may live. Now watch this promise. Because what is our promise? I know it's a body change, but our promise is a resurrection. Amen. From the prophesying of the Son of Man. Not the Son of God. Son of Man. Listen, real quick, we'll be done. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost and we are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord, O my people, I will open your graves. I will open your graves, son of man. Prophesy. That's a capital S. Go back down to 12 again. I'm sorry, I missed that one. Go back to where it's right there. No, 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, capital S, God is standing there. O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I, keep going on 13 there, and ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your grave, and shall put my spirit in you. And you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Now listen, this is a promise to Israel. A natural promise to Israel. They're going to be restored. God's going to give them the Holy Ghost by 144,000. They're going to have their property and their land over there. But listen, what is mine and your promised land? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And we shall put my spirit in you. And you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the look, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, that's God, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So it's going to happen to national Israel, but listen, folks, it's got to happen to me and you. It's got to come to me and you. You and I, are, there's a shaking going on. Those dry bones, we finally know how to get them out of the ground. You say, listen, we better start saying something like that. You say, do you know how? No, I don't know how, but I believe we're getting there. I believe we're getting there. I believe we're getting strong enough. And if it's not me, I hope it's you. Let's stand to our feet. Musicians, come. Prophesy to those dry bones, son of man. Put some flesh on those bones, son of man. Because son of man is what's going to bring the dead out of the ground. And whatever bones they had laying somewhere, you know what happened to Job? Job says, in my flesh. Now, where's Job's bones today? You probably can't find them. But God knows where they are. God knows where you are. Bottom of the sea, top of the mountain, does not matter. He knows where you are, and He knows your name. Prophesy, son of man. Maybe that's our problem. We haven't spoken enough. But see, we won't speak amiss because we got to come to a position. Listen, even Jesus Christ had to come to a position. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell, River Jordan. 3 years later, He stands on a mountain. 3 years later. Right? Or 3.5 years later, however you want to say it. He stands on a mountain in Matthew. And He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye Him. That's why we have to come to adoption in the end time for the Son of Man to come on the scene. We've got to see that. It's just our mandate. To get the dead out of the ground, we got to have the Son of Man here. He was the one that stood and said, I am the resurrection and the life. He was the one that said, Lazarus, come forth. And if He's inside of me and you today, we got the resurrection inside of us. Let's sing a song.
There's a miracle.
You have a need.
In the making. One just for you. The Father is working.
Dry bones laying out in the middle of a field. No hope. No hope.
Your prayer.
Man can't put dry bones back together. It takes God to do that. It took God Almighty to bring Lazarus out of a tomb. It took God Almighty to make fish and loaves enough to feed 5,000 people one time and 4,000 people the next time. That was the Son of Man.
Oh, there's a miracle.
You know what the greatest miracle is going to be? Us realizing who we are. Us realizing who we already are, not who we're going to be.
King even now, your prayers have been heard, and the answer's on the way.
Think about it now.
For you today.
Sing it to Him again, one more time. Oh.
just for you. The Father is working even now. Your prayer has been heard, and the answer's on the way. For there's a miracle in the making for you.
Ezekiel, all the dry bones, they were sinew, there was meat, there was flesh. But it took a breath of life that we naturally don't have. We naturally can't bring somebody back from the dead. Our natural breath can't do it. But the Son of Man can do it. His breath is the breath of life. And you say, well, that we're waiting on, listen, if we're waiting on the Son of Man to come back, we're in trouble. Amen? He's back. He's here. He's trying to do the work he was sent here to do. The capital S-O-N, Son of Man. Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He's trying to get us to see that. But it wasn't so much the bone, it wasn't the sinew, the meat, and the flesh. Everything was right there together. But he had to breathe that breath of life inside. Listen, Adam was the same way. Adam needed the breath of life breathed inside into him. And God's the only one that can do that. But listen, God through you can do that. God through you can do that. You know, if you get born again, you've received the breath of God. The breath of eternal life. You've had natural breath all your life from a day the doctor slapped you on the rear end and you started crying. That's natural breath. That breath will go away. But when he breathes that spiritual life inside of you, no, that's born by the breath of God. Now let that thing out. Let it continue on and let's just continue to be diligent, seeking God, seeking the right attitude and the right, what we've got now. The Son of Man is what we're looking for. The Son of Man. Not negate, don't get away with the Son of God. Do away with the Son of God. You gotta have that. You gotta have the new birth. You gotta have the foundation. But I'm not the one that said it's a different way. Jesus came a different way. And he was the Son of Man. So we've got to look at it a different way. And it's not going to be hard, folks, because you know what? It's part of the program. Somebody, God saw before the foundation of the world that somebody, every time he had a program, somebody would connect to that program and take off with it. Message, he'd have a message. He knew that Martin Luther was going to pick that message up, take off with it. He knew that they would denominate it and he would die and go off the scene and Wesley would pick up a new message, a new way. And he would take off with it. Same way with the bride in the end time. Listen, don't look for something odd because you're already odd. Don't look for something different because you're already different. We just got to dig a little deeper and see where the prophet of God tells us a whole nother way. He's coming a whole nother, you know why? Because the world's going to miss him. The world's going to miss this coming. They will not, only a few people will know about the second coming of Jesus Christ, which is the Son of Man. The world's not going to know it. The world's not going to see him come out of the eastern sky and they think and know that that's their Savior. No, he's coming in judgment when he does that. Amen. They've already missed the second coming of Jesus Christ. Because who is the second coming of Jesus Christ? We are. We're the second coming of Christ. Because he's not coming back in any other flesh but mine and yours. Amen. And that's what the prophet spent all them years trying to tell us. God is here. You are the Word made manifest. You are the Word made flesh. You are. Not somebody that's coming. You are. God bless you. We love you with the love of the Lord. We'll see you Wednesday night. Brother Bob will be preaching. Pray for him. Pray for each and every one of us that we'll all have a good week and that everything will be all right and that we'll come back together on Wednesday night. How's your flying? You learning them crosswinds now? Okie dokie then. Bless his heart. He told me, he sent me a video to watch and I saw the video and he was going down the runway and as soon as he lifted off, either you or the instructor said, watch the crosswind. Well, the airplane goes way over here toward the woods. And he had to push it back and get it back straightened up. So be careful, okay? We don't want to lose you, buddy. Low, I will be with you always. Low. I like flying too. Don't worry about it. I'll go up with you when you get your license redone again. Okay? but no crosswind. Okay? Some glad morning when this life is over. Okay. All right. Pray for Brother Ryan. He is taking his classes. And that's something, you know, just same as all of us. You got a hobby. You got a hobby. He's got a hobby. So just pray for that hobby. And God bless you with the love of the Lord. You're dismissed. Just sing it to him as you leave.
Oh, some glad morning when this life is o'er, I'm gonna fly away to a home on Joshua. Like a bird from prison bars has flown.